That was lovely singing. Thank you very much, folks. Perhaps we'll come to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's all pray unto the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do come unto thee tonight, Lord, in and through the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you tonight that you are our Father. Lord, we thank you that your ear is ever open to your children's cry. Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, we want to come to give thee honour and to give thee glory. Lord, may all that be said and done tonight be done to that honour and to that glory. Lord, we do pray, Lord, indeed you would bless tonight, Lord. Lord, be unto us all that we would need, Lord. And help us tonight, Lord, we pray. Lord, we'd ask indeed you'd undertake for all aspects. Again, we pray, Lord, that you'd undertake for me, Lord, as I would now handle thy word. Lord, I need thee, Lord. Lord, I'm poor, I'm wretched, but I need thee, Lord, to help me, I pray. So, Lord, we just ask indeed that you'd come. And Lord, tonight we think, Lord, of those who would love to be here, Lord, those who would, in days past, would have joyed when they were asked to go to the gates of God. But Lord, now they're not able. And Lord, our prayer be even tonight that even as maybe they're listening to your airwaves or maybe they're listening to a CD from last week, Lord, our prayer be even now that you'd bless them, that you'd undertake them, Lord. May they know thy loving arms round about them, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who cures. And Lord, our prayer be even now, Lord, where they are in their home or in a nursing home, wherever it would be, that indeed, Lord, you would draw close to them and even, Lord, give them a real sense of your presence. Lord, do pray for those even who have lost loved ones in recent days. Lord, there's been so many. And Lord, our prayer be, Lord, even that you'd undertake, Lord, indeed, Lord, you would be that one who would fill that empty chair. Lord, we know that there are those even who have lost loved ones for a long time, Lord, and even now they're still missing them, Lord. And our prayer be even there, Lord, that you would draw close to them, Lord, and Lord, that you would even help them, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a great God. You are a God who loves us. Lord, you love us not because of any good loss, but because, Lord, you are God who is love. And our prayer be tonight, Lord, as we would come even to look at thy word, that we would even come to realise that thou art God and that thou art love. Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, we would even pray, Lord, that man would be hid, Lord, that man wouldn't be seen, Lord. Even as the people are leaving, Lord, may they not say who told that fellow Macaulay he could speak or who gave him the idea that he could speak. But, Lord, may they go out saying, I heard the voice of God. Lord, that's our prayer tonight, Lord. We don't want to come here and spend time and listen to man's voice. We want to hear the word of God. And tonight, Lord, we do want to thank and praise you for a church that works from your Bible, Lord. It doesn't preach man's words, doesn't preach tinkling brass, but, Lord, it speaks the word of God. And, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, even for all those who faithfully handle thy word in our church week in and week out, Lord. But, Lord, tonight we need a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, bless us, do us good, Lord. We know that your word tells us that where the two or three are gathered together, that thou art in us. But, Lord, our prayer be even tonight that you give us spiritual eyes to see thee, Lord. Help us to know, Lord. Help us to fully understand, Lord, that you are here and not to bless. Lord, help us not to think that, well, it would be great if God was here, but, Lord, help us to see that you're here already and that you are here, Lord, to do us good and to give us all the needful food that we need. So, Lord, undertake us, we pray, and do us good. For in Jesus' name we'd ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Folks, perhaps we could turn our Bibles to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and the chapter 1. The book of Ephesians and the chapter 1. Tonight I was actually supposed to be on the recording team doing the recording, and to tell you the truth right now, I'd nearly prefer to be there, but we'll get through it, I'm sure. Ephesians and the chapter 1, and we'll read from the verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. We'll just end the reading there. We know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our good. The city of Ephesus was a magnificent city. It was famous most especially for a great temple that was built in it, a temple that was dedicated to the goddess Diana. And it was actually one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Historians would tell us that the temple was built on the site of another temple that was dedicated to Artemis. He was a Greek god. And in AD, 1 AD, the Romans took over Ephesus. And they changed this temple to the Temple of Diana, a goddess in Roman mythology. You know, the substitution, you thought it would annoy people, but the people didn't really seem to care. The substitution appears to have been fine with local silversmiths, because they were able then to sell statues of Diana, where before they were selling statues of Artemis. They didn't care what god it was, as long as they were able to make money. During its heyday, the Temple of Diana was supported by 127 Ionic columns, each towering 60 feet tall. It covered an area of 130 yards by 60 yards, making it four times larger than the Parthenon in Athens. Multitudes upon multitudes flocked to see the temple. And where there are multitudes of people, sin abounds. And it was so in Ephesus. Multitudes came to see this temple, and all kinds of things were carried out. People done various things that were wrong, because the multitudes were there and they could hide their sins, they thought. However, the Apostle Paul came to Ephesus, and he saw a great work done there through the Holy Ghost. Turn back in the Bible to Acts chapter 19, please. The book of Acts in chapter 19, please. And Paul has been in Ephesus, and he's been preaching in the synagogue, and he's seen people saved, and there's a lot of people who went against them. And they see an evil spirit sent out. And it says in verse 17, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." These people had been doing all manners of things that were wrong. They then came and they admitted what they had done. They spoke to people what they had done. "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burnt them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." That was some money in those days, 50,000 pieces of silver. Then verse 20 says, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." The Apostle Paul had been in Ephesus, he'd been preaching the word of God, and the people had now started to believe in God. And God's word grew mightily. I love that word, God's word grew mightily. And the Apostle Paul saw a great work done. But you know, the Apostle Paul knew that he couldn't stay in the city. And he knew that even though this church was founded in the city, that he couldn't stay amongst them. And if we turn over to chapter 20, Paul, he travels to Macedonia. He has to leave Ephesus and he travels to Macedonia. But he's concerned about the church in Ephesus. And he calls to the elders in the church of Ephesus. And he tells them to come and meet him. He wants to talk to them. And in chapter 20, in the verse 28, he says to the elders, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And then he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch." Therefore watch. The Apostle Paul says, people are going to come in, They're going to try and draw the people away from the church. They're going to try and draw people away from God. And they're going to do it to a certain extent. And he says to these elders, therefore watch. You keep your eye on this. This is going to happen. And then he comes and he knows he can't go back to the church. So he says to the people, he writes them a letter. And that's the letter that we've read tonight in Ephesians chapter 1. And he comes and he writes this letter to the church to try and encourage the church, because he knew of what was going ahead for the church. And the Apostle Paul, in writing this epistle to the church, he stresses that we must always think of the gospel. We must always think of the good news of Jesus Christ in the terms of glory of God's grace. He tells the church that God shows his favor to them in accepting them in the beloved. Every blessing that they enjoy from God comes to them in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we as Christians often use that acronym GRACE, Great Riches at Christ's Expense. All we have, all we get, comes to us through Christ. And as Paul writes this epistle, even in the introductory remarks, he constantly takes them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He takes them back to Christ. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Time and again, he takes them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, suddenly at the end of the sixth verse, he changes it. He changes the term. Look at what he says. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ? No, in the beloved. So why did he do this? Why did he use this change of terms? Why did he suddenly change from the Lord Jesus Christ to the beloved? Well, I believe, and it's my thought, that he'd done this to bring out the full force and intensity of how God brought about our, and indeed our, salvation. Is it not a great wonder that God should make fallen man, like these Ephesians and like us, that he should make us holy? I think that's great, and that he should make us the sons of God. But you know what's even more wonderful? Do you know what's even more miraculous? Is the means that God used. And what God used to perform this adoption, it's in the beloved. It's in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want for a few moments just to look at this term, in the beloved. And as I do so, I want to leave three very simple thoughts with you. And you know me, they'll be simple thoughts. In our text, we see firstly, a father's love. A father's love. In the beloved. The word beloved in the original Greek, it comes from a word which would signify much loved, or especially loved, or even loved with a special loved. It would even signify a love sealed with a kiss. Surely it would remind us of that special bond between a father and his son. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom we are accepted, was loved with that special love. He was the one who was much loved. He was the one who was loved in purity by the Father, with that perfect love that only God can possess. I think of Matthew chapter 3, when the Lord Jesus Christ had been baptized. Did not the Father say in verse 11, "This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased"? In other words, this is the one whom I have loved with a special love. He is my only begotten. He is one with me. Indivisible and inseparable. That is what that term beloved conveys to us. So when this apostle uses this term in the epistle, and he thinks of the glory of God's grace, he is reminding us that this is the highest love. Here is the one beloved, set apart, the one who has always enjoyed the whole of the Father's love, the one on whom the whole of the Father's love is centered. There's no better term. There's no term better suited to describe a relationship between the Father and the Son than is used in our text, the beloved. So as we think of the babe of Bethlehem, and as we think of his incarnation, We need to remember it was God the Father who sent forth his Son, the Beloved, the eternally loved one. The hymn says, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How deep the Father's love for us, that he would send his Beloved, that we could be made sons of God. As I stated at the start of this meeting, the Archbishop wants to do away with our Father from the Lord's Prayer. You know, he needs to take his eyes off the human fathers and look at the Heavenly Father and his love. That's the example he wants to set before men. He doesn't want to, if he's any sense, he doesn't want to take away our Father out of the prayer. He wants to direct men to our Father and his love. A God who so loved the world that he was willing to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I know to a certain extent where he's coming from. I know there are earthly fathers who are not great examples. And if I were to ask most fathers in this meeting tonight, I think a lot of us would have to say, I wouldn't be a good example. I could have done better. I could have been a better example. Maybe I could have been more tolerant. Maybe I could have been more understanding. Maybe I could have provided more time to my children, to look after my children, to help my children. Maybe I could have provided better for my children. But we have an Heavenly Father, one who loves us with that perfect love, one who never fails us, one who never disappoints us, one who gives us all we need. We need to continue to look to him. Let's take our eyes off man, and let's take our eyes back onto God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, we read, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven shall give unto you. What love the Father has for us. Only good things come from his hand. So we've seen a Father's love. Let us look secondly at a faithful Lord. Made us accepted in the Beloved. Made us accepted in the Beloved. The Apostle has been highlighting that our salvation is a result of the love and mercy of God. However, if we are to understand anything of the love of God, we need to understand the love of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand what has happened in and to the Son, the Beloved. In Luke chapter 20, Pastor could turn to Luke chapter 20. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he starts a parable in the verse 9. Luke chapter 20 and the verse 9. Then began he, the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak a parable to the people, this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. So here's a farmer and he's planted this vineyard and he has to go away. So we would say he let it out to someone. He let someone else take over the work. And it's come time for the harvest. And so he sends forth his servants to collect his due reward for the harvest. And at the season, he sent the servant to the husbandmen that they should give him the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. So here's a farmer. He has agreed a price for these men. They're going to look after his vineyard. And whenever the harvest comes, he's expecting something from the harvest. But when he sends his labourers, when he sends his servants to the husbandmen, they beat him up and they don't give him anything. And you think to yourself, well, I wouldn't be too pleased if I was a farmer. But he says, I'm going to send another one. Again, they do the same thing. And then he sends a third one. And it says not only did they send him away, but they wounded him and they cast him out. I'm sure by this stage the farmer was getting cross. I'm sure he was being angry. Then we read in verse 13. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? He says, I know what I'll do. I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. So here's a farmer and he sent his servants and they've had no success. And he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son. And I know because he's my son that they're going to be good to him. They're going to look after him and they're going to give him all that I want. Verse 14 says, but when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." Not only did they have no reverence for the son, not only did they have no reverence for the father, but they're going to kill him. So that they can take the farm. Whenever the father dies or the merchantman dies, they can take the farm. There'll be no one else. The son's gone, so they'll get the farm. You know, God, when he sent forth his prophets, and they've been rejected and some have been killed, he then sent forth his son, the beloved. And he came knowing, the Lord Jesus Christ came knowing that he was going to be rejected. He came knowing that the people would not reverence him. He wasn't sent as it were, perhaps they will reverence him. It may be that they will reverence him. He was sent knowing that he was going to be abused, that he was going to be beaten, that he was going to be killed, and he was going to be spat upon, scourged, nailed to a tree. Jesus knew that if we, as sinful men, were going to be accepted, then he would be spared no suffering from the Father. And yet, he was willingly came to make sin for us. Is it any wonder God could say in Mark 11, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? And it was for our salvation he came. It was our salvation that he willingly and faithfully suffered. Did he not pray in Luke 22, verse 42, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't come as it were, he wasn't forced to come. He came because he had a love for us and for his Father. He was willing. One of my favourite verses, and I quote it quite regular, is found in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says there that he, God the Father, made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Imagine the spotless, sinless, beloved Son of God being willing not just to take our sin, but to become sin. I sometimes cannot really take that in. That he not just took our sin upon himself, but he became sin for us. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us, for sinful man. Ought we not to thank the Lord for that every day? Did you ever realize that the only time God the Father and God the Son were separated was when the Son was paying a price for our sins? Paying a price for our penalty. That's the only time God the Son was separated from the love of his Father. And he was willing to do that. Ray Overholt was born in Michigan, 1924. He was a non-believer, but he wrote a song. And it's not a song I would particularly like, but he wrote a song, and it was entitled, "He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels." He later became, through this song, through a man preaching, he later became a Christian. But when he wrote this song, he was not a Christian. But there's one line or two lines that I particularly like. "To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone, and when he cried his finish, listen, he gave himself to die." He gave himself to die. No one killed the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to die. And then the last line of the verse says, "Salvation's wondrous plan was done." God the Father had said to his Son, "I need someone to go." God the Son said, "I'll go." And there upon Calvary, salvation's plan was finished. Our Lord wasn't forced to cross. He went willingly. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 we read, "Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father." At the throne of God, sorry. For the joy that was set before him. He went to the cross with joy. These are probably strange words to attribute to such an awful agony. The awful separation. Yet our Lord Jesus endured with joy. I believe as he hung upon that cross, the joy that he saw was those of us who would see it. I believe he looked through time and he seen everyone who would come unto the God the Father through him. I believe that that was the joy that the Lord Jesus experienced. That was the joy that helped him stay upon the cross. He knew that, as he said upon that cross, that fallen man had a way to get back to his Father. in and through his finished work upon that cross. And he joined. And he looked down through time and he said, Jim McCauley's getting saved. Isn't that great? And such one this meeting's getting saved. Isn't that brilliant? And that gave him joy. But there's also another joy, I believe. The joy that he knew that he was doing his Father's will. That one day he would go back to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. So we've seen a Father's love and a faithful Lord. Finally, let us look at a favoured love. So far, we have noted the relationship between the Father and the Son. Now let's look at how this term applies to us and our relationship to God. We who are Christians, we who are in Christ, purchased through his blood, we who are adopted in the beloved, are loved by God as he loved his beloved Son. When Jesus was praying his great prayer in John 17, verse 23, he said, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Friends, we're loved, we are adopted, we're accepted by the Father now. He loves us as he loved the Son himself. God loves us as he loved the Son. Maybe I'm fanciful whenever I say that. Am I exaggerating? Turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I don't believe I'm exaggerating whenever I say that or being fanciful. Colossians chapter 3 and the verse 12. Actually, we'll read from verse 10, sorry. Colossians chapter 3 and the verse 10. And it says in verse 10, and have put on the new man, so speaking about those who are saved, those who have come and been washed in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, listen, holy and beloved. Holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. The Apostle Paul here, he describes God's people as holy. But he goes further. And even more marvellously, he says, beloved. We are loved of God. Hi. We were sinful, we were hell deserving, we were God rejecting, and yet in and through his son, we are now made right with God. Verse 11 says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. It's all through Christ. We are his brethren, we are beloved, not because of us, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want a wee bit more, turn over to Second Thessalonians chapter 2, please. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, please. And the verse 13. And it says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Surely this must be the highest point in our salvation, that the beloved who came down from glory to this earth, who went to the cross and died and went down into the very depths of hell, and has risen again. He has taken us with him. He has placed us in a position where we are loved as he is loved, holy and beloved. We are not only brethren, we are beloved, especially loved, much loved of the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, well, not turned it, but in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we read of David. And David wants to do something to someone that belonged to the house of Saul, for Jonathan's sake, because he had such a love for Jonathan. And he wanted to show kindness to one of Saul's household. And when the only remaining relative was found, it was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was a lame, crippled boy, as I'm sure you know. And he was brought before the king, and we read he was brought before him in great fear and trembling. And I'm sure Mephibosheth, as he was going into the king, he was thinking, well, my father was not good to this man, and look at all the things that happened, and I know I'm going to go in here, and there's a good chance I'm going to be killed. And he went in, and he says to David, he says, what is thy servant, that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? He went in lowly, he went in fear and in trembling. But you know, David, how did he respond? David said, as for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. He shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. No longer a servant, no longer need to fear, no longer to come in and cowering and fearing. He was adopted as one of the king's very own sons. He was to be loved, to be treated as a prince, the son of a king. And surely this is a great picture of our salvation. No longer any need to fear. No longer a servant, but one of God's own sons. A child of the great king. A child of the King of Kings. In verse 2 of the portion we read there, in Ephesians, in verse 2, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord give us when we became a son? He gave us peace. Peace from God. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So we are at peace with God. One time far away from God, now at peace with God. And in that, we enjoy all the blessings of God. Then verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, we are chosen of God. We didn't come to God because of any good in us. We came because God chose us. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, we're adopted. We are adopted into the family of God. And verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath accepted us. We are accepted by God. We are accepted. That word can be translated, highly favoured. All in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God loves a Christian as he loves his own son. We are accepted, are highly favoured. How then can we ever fail to praise God? How can we ever fail to give God the glory and the honour that is due to him? Surely we can never say God treats us unfairly when he has adopted us, when he loves us as he loved his own son. But I wonder tonight, do we as a beloved of God show forth the love of God? I wonder, do we let others see the love of God? Do we show others the love of God in us? You know, if God so loved the world when it was so full of sin that he sent forth his son, his beloved, surely this ought to make us all the more want to tell others about the love of God. Do we ever really stand up for our Father, our Heavenly Father, when we hear his name being slandered and spoken upon and castigated? When was the last time, and I'm saying this, when was the last time that we stood up for God? When was the last time that we defended his name and spoke out for God? You know, if our earthly father's name was being slandered, if our family name was being slandered or spoken off badly, we wouldn't belong in defending them. We wouldn't belong standing up for them. However, for the sake of peace, I don't want to annoy anyone. For the sake of fear of being shamed. If I say something about God, they're going to laugh at me. Of being different. I don't want to be different. I want to be the same as everybody else. Just to keep the peace. Or whatever excuse we use, we all have our own excuses for not standing up for God. We willingly stand by and let the word, use the word of God as a curse word, the name of God as a curse word. We let the world slander the name of our God who has done so much for us. How many times do you hear people using the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, as a swear word? And we do nothing. Oh, well, just, I don't want to say anything in case I get laughed at or whatever. We ought to be willing to stand up for our Lord and our Savior. He has done so much for us. I recently was out with a few boys, and they weren't Christians, and really I shouldn't have been there if truth was known. But the language got worse and worse, and in the end I just had to say, and to my great shame, it took me a long while before I was willing to say, I can't stay here any longer, folks. This language is too bad. To my great shame, it had gone on 2 or 3 hours before I was willing to stand up for my God. How often do we do the same? How often do we let people speak ill of our God, slander his name, and we do nothing? God, who loved us, who loves us as a beloved, who has accepted us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we let people do and say what they want to say about him. As we come to our time of prayer, let us, as a beloved, give to God our Father. Give to God our Father the praise and the glory of his grace. The grace has sent his beloved Son to die for us. Let us pray unto God and give him the honour tonight that is due to his holy name. Let us pray tonight, not just saying our Father as a glibly word, but let us really understand tonight what it means to be able to say our Father. Our Father. Let us understand tonight, as we come to a time of prayer, what our Father really is and what he has really done for us. In verse 3 it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word blessed there simply means thanked or praised. Let us praise our great God tonight for what he is. You know, we have so much to thank God for. Let us come tonight and not just come and ask God what we want, but let us come tonight and give him the glory and the honour that's due to his name. For he has done so much for us. We want to sing an Orwee hymn just before we get down to our time of prayer. It's the hymn that I quoted there earlier on. It's hymn number 317, I think. The hymn 317. Behold what manner of love, behold what love, what boundless love the Father has bestowed on sinners lost, that we should be now called the sons of God. We'll stand and we'll sing this hymn together, and we'll sing it, I hope, prayerfully and with thankfulness unto God for what he's done for us.
Sinners lost, that we should
should be called the sons of God. Just as we come down to our time of prayer, can I just leave a few announcements with you? The Lord's Day, it's our own pastor back again amongst us. We're looking forward to that, to have him back amongst us. And then Monday evening is the church outing, the church fellowship together. Going tomorrow to the main meeting at 6:30 at the main. Please, folks, if you can do that. I think that's all the announcements, except we had a great report last week from the children's meeting. Continue to remember the children in your prayer. But also remember the outreach amongst the boys and girls coming up at the end of August with our sister Joyce. Even now, let us pray that Joyce would know the word of the Lord that she had to bring for the boys and girls. And indeed, the parents would even be upon their heart to bring boys and girls into the meeting. Pray for that week of meeting. We long to see the children one. It's our heart's desire to see the boys and girls one early in life. And our prayer would be that we'd even use the time that we have left between now and the couple of weeks' time whenever they start, that we would pray much and be much in prayer for this work amongst the boys and girls. Pray for the team who will lead it and look after it. Pray for Samuel as he leads the team. Just continue to pray for them. They need your prayers. We know it's a lovely work and working amongst the boys and girls, but they need your prayers. They need God's help. And we would pray that you would continue to pray for the boys and girls and for the leaders of this work. The time will soon be here. The time will soon be past. And it'll soon go into eternity. Continue to pray for it, as I know you do. We're going to get down to prayer now, so we are. And as I say, remember to pray when we're praying to a holy God, a God who loves us, a God who's done so much for us. And that help us not just to come tonight and to make our petitions and our wants known, but help us to come tonight to give us the glory and honours due to his name. And our numbers are down tonight, so maybe you haven't prayed in the meeting for a long time, or you've never even prayed in public before. Listen, the numbers are smaller tonight. If you feel led of the Lord, do you pray audibly tonight? And what a blessing it would be to us who are here tonight just to hear that new voice in prayer. The numbers are down. I know when we come to prayer, we're coming to God, but I know we can have that worry of looking around and, well, the minister's here and I couldn't pray in front of him, or the elders are here and they can pray and I can't. Listen, tonight, the numbers are down. You speak out tonight for the Lord. You pray tonight and you stand up. Even use that as you're standing up for the Lord to say, I'm going to show that I'm a Christian, that I'm glad to be a son of God. So let us pray. Let us all pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you tonight for the help that's been given so far. Lord, we thank you, Lord, even for these few stuttering, stammering remarks. But our Lord, our prayer be that you'd even take these words, Lord, and you would write them to hearts, Lord. That indeed you'd use them to thrill souls. Help us, Lord, tonight to understand what it cost you, Lord, to send your only begotten Son, your beloved, to this earth to die for us. Help us tonight, Lord, to understand and to take it in. The great cost, Lord, that your Son was willing to leave your side, to come to this earth, to die that horrible death for us. Lord, to be separated from thee for that time, Lord. What an awful price, Lord, he had to pay for our sin. Not for his own sin, because he knew no sin, but for our sin. And Lord, tonight we want to come, Lord, and we do want to give you the glory and the honour that's due unto your name. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for all you're giving to us. We thank you tonight, Lord, not just because we are saved from hell, Lord. That's a great thing in its own, Lord. But what we're saved to, Lord. We want to thank you tonight, Lord, that we are a son of God. That we are beloved of thee, Lord. Lord, we can't at times take it in, but Lord, help us tonight even to understand and to see that clearer picture of what you've done for us and in our lives. We do thank you, Lord, for each one here tonight who knows thee, Lord. And I pray, be, Lord, even through these remarks tonight, that you would strengthen them. May we go out tonight, Lord, even with our greater zeal. May we go out tonight, Lord, with our greater desire to serve thee, to do all for thee. For it's only was done for thee that was lost, Lord. Lord, help us to go out tonight even rejoicing in thee, Lord, and even with our greater love to show others what you've done for us. Help us tonight, Lord, to stand up for thee, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for all the times we've failed to, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for all the times I failed to. I have to confess, Lord, I fail thee daily. Lord, but help us even to be those who would be that stand up Christians for you, Lord. That would stand for your name, Lord. That would not let others use your name as a curse word or whatever, Lord. But help us to be those strong Christians. Give us the strength, Lord. We can't do it in ourselves, Lord. We need you, Lord. And our prayer be, Lord, even tonight, Lord, that you'd even come and give us a greater zeal. Burn that desire in our hearts more, we pray, Lord. Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, we do again thank you, Lord, for this time, for this open door. We thank you, Lord, we're able to come and meet in such a fashion. Lord, we're able to come not daring any man, not fearing any man, knowing that we are coming on to a holy God. And Lord, we do thank and praise you, Lord, that your ear is ever open to your cry. Lord, as we come tonight, Lord, we would think of the meetings that are planned in your will. We'd ask indeed, Lord, for the Lord today. Lord, we'd ask again, Lord, that you'd bring us in. Lord, you'd even now set our hearts right to come to thee, Lord. Give us that pure heart and them clean hands, Lord, to come on to thee. Lord, help us to come on the Lord's day expecting to hear your voice. Help us not to come, Lord, just a while that time away, but help us to come looking for thee, looking to hear thee, looking to hear thy word. And to that end, Lord, we'd ask you to help our brother. Lord, we'd ask indeed for our pastor. Lord, we thank you for him. We thank you even for this time of holiday that he's had. And Lord, we'd ask indeed even as he come back refreshed in body, that he would come with that greater zeal in his soul. We do thank you for him, Lord. We praise you for him. But Lord, we ask indeed, Lord, even as he would come now to prepare for thy word and prepare for the Lord's day, that you would help him, that you'd be on to him all he needs. Even now, Lord, open up the very pages. Give him the words that you would have him to say. May he be able to come and say with that surety, I have a word from the Lord. Hear you it. And Lord, our prayer be, Lord, that even through that time, Lord, that we would be blessed and uplifted, Lord. And Lord, if there are those in our midst that don't know thee, Lord, we thank you for bringing strangers in amongst us again last Lord's day. And Lord, if you bring them back, our prayer be, Lord, that you draw them unto yourself. Lord, may we see souls saved, Lord. Lord, we long to see souls saved, Lord. We have had a drought, as it were, of souls being saved. But Lord, if it's your will, our prayer be, Lord, that you would even save souls. And Lord, as we even look forward to the outreach amongst the boys and girls, Lord, we'd ask indeed there that you would superintend, that you would overtake and see that all things are done right. Lord, we would pray, Lord, your blessing would be upon that time. We'd ask for our sister Joyce, Lord, indeed you would help her. We thank you for her, Lord, and for the blessings she's been to us down through the years. But Lord, if she can't come in past blessings, she needs to come with that fresh blessing. And our prayer be, Lord, that you'd even help her, Lord. Again, give her the words that you'd have her to say. May she be able to break thy word down so simple that even the tiniest wee child, Lord, can understand it. Lord, and they can come and put their faith and trust in thee. Lord, that's our desire. Lord, that's the desire of the people here, to see children come and put their faith and trust in thee. Lord, our prayer be, Lord, that you would do it, Lord. We can't do it, Lord. The brethren can only do what they can do, as it were, physically. Lord, we need you, Lord. We need you to come, Lord. We need you to speak, Lord. We need you to save souls. Lord, we long, we desire, Lord. Our hearts are breaking, Lord, to see we boys and girls won for thee. So, Lord, I'd ask indeed that you'll undertake for that time of outreach and for that time of meetings, we pray. And, Lord, tonight again, we wouldn't be mindful of shut in. We thank you, Lord, for those who were stood here in the past, Lord, those who had prayed for us. And, Lord, now they're not fit. Lord, our prayer be, Lord, indeed, even tonight, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, and you would bless them. And you'd be on to them all that they would need. Lord, we think of those who are, Lord, bereaved again. We do ask, Lord, that indeed you would undertake for them. Lord, we'd ask indeed, Lord, that you would help them, Lord. And indeed, Lord, they would know, even now, Lord, that they are beloved of God. Lord, they're not alone, Lord, that you're there. You're that person who wants to help them, Lord. And our prayer be, Lord, that they would even see tonight that they are beloved of thee, Lord. So, Lord, we'd ask indeed now, Lord, you would undertake for us. Give help in the place of prayer, we pray, Lord. We know at times it can't be easy, but Lord, our prayer be, you would even give us that sweet hour of prayer. And Lord, we would go away rejoicing, knowing that we've met afresh with thee. So Lord, come and bless us, we pray, and do us good. For we ask all these things in and through the name of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen.